This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I'm reading that you're really interested in the concept of
true. Next question.
That of ruin and, you know, kind of losers or loss, etc. I mean, what was it about this guy that?
Well, you know, that's Willie Loman stuff there, you know. I mean, that's always, that sort of tragic element of a character is always kind of intriguing, I think, you know. And it's, he's a failing motivational speaker. I mean, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. And I thought that, that was just a very, very good starting point. You know, when I first read the script, I saw the places where it's, you know, more broadly funny, but I certainly read it as more of a... I saw the tragedy more in him and in this family more than I saw the comedy the first time I read it. And I know that sounds crazy, but I really did. They were really being, you know, squished. And, he's facing kind of the end of the road, and that's an intriguing place to start off for a character.
Did you ever think he was just kind of a jerk sometimes?
Jerks don't ever see themselves as jerks. I thought that he was I think he's a little lost, but, you know, if he were in Dr. Phil's show, he'd be talking about his heroin snorting father having caused it all. But, I just thought that that sort of lack of approval that he got from his dad probably transcends, you know, that stays in the gene pool. And there he is kind of, you know, working his daughter over in the ice cream. The jerk, yeah, I guess, but I don't know. More specifically, I just thought he's kind of a lost guy. And it's kind of interesting how that he manages to dig himself out of a pretty deep rabbit hole in this story that Michael wrote.
And what's the appeal of the whole film? What do you think it says about families and family life? Because I think, looking at it, it doesn't seem that they are a particularly extraordinary family. You know, most families have crazy people in them.
Yeah, people say they're a dysfunctional family. I think they're actually a very functional family. I mean, they manage against all odds to get this girl to this event. I mean, it's really, they do all work together, but they are all together. And it's, there's that love, of course, their family, but, it's, you don't get to pick your partners, you know, you get assigned a seat at the table on family, and I don't know that anybody will watch the movie and say, well, that's my family. Maybe somebody will say that. I think more than likely we'll be able to see some element of this family and their own experience, some piece of it.
When you were reading this, I mean, you're a father yourself.
Yeah.
Didn't you say this is so wrong what he's doing, or did you kind of go along with it?
No. I mean, like, I just think he's, he's trying to control the universe, and, you know, he's just trying to, you know, do stuff that he's not capable of doing, and he's just... like I said, I think he's a little, you know, certainly a little lost, but, I like characters that aren't, that are a little off the railroad track, so I was okay with it.
You know, you're real good at transitioning between comedy and serious.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen movies where the one you did with Tim, what's his name, used to be on the Carol Burnett show. The
Dear God.
Yeah, that was incredible. But what I'm saying, what is it? When you're interpreting a character, what triggers either making him funny or serious?
Because
you do both well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's usually this, you know, you read, I mean, it's kind of in the script, you know. So much of this movie was set out for us from Michael. I mean, he's a great writer, and you start with that, and try to follow along as best you can. I mean, it's with a movie like this, it wasn't entirely clear what it was going to be. I mean, when I first read it, I wasn't so sure exactly what it was. And John and Val, which is always the case with any of these movies, I mean, it's the tone is set by the director. You know, every movie I've done, I think there's, 100 versions of each of those. but it's established by the person who's going to tell the story. And with John and Val, I felt like we had two people, at least when I met with them, and this was like 4 years ago. The movie fell apart once, and then it kind of came back together again. But when I met with them, I just felt like they had a really clear, kind of straightforward, non-winking story to tell, and I liked that.
What was it like working with Tony, having Tony as your wife?
She's a bitch. She's wonderful. We worked together on Dinner with Friends, Tony and I. I met Tony a few years ago. We worked with Norman Jewison in a movie, and she's just, I love her. She's great. She's a great actress. I mean, she's so adept at comedy and drama and telling stories without even talking. I mean, she's just amazing. And I was lucky to get to work with her again, and I hope we'll do it again.
And one more question: how do you think fatherhood and recent fatherhood will affect your approach to films, and how has it already?
Well,
if at all.
No more rated X scenes.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, I've canceled production on As Wood as It Gets. No. I don't know. It's like I don't know. You know, it's hard to say because I can't really I control what my we're so careful about what our children watch as it is that I can't imagine them watching anything at any time that isn't appropriate. But I don't know how it's going to affect. It's still a little early to say, Would I do autofocus today? I did it a few years ago. I think I probably would. I mean, I guess exploitation and, drug use, and stuff like that probably will be something I'll think more of as I go forward than I obviously would have before. But how it's really going to directly impact choices, I don't know.
What about choices in the time you spend making working and being at home? Do you think are you going to be a very active father?
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty active. That's why I'm so goddamn tired right now. I'm, it's one of the great things about, when you're acting, obviously you go to a project and you fall into this swirling vortex of work for a few months and disappear, and that's kind of bummer. But when you come out or when you're not working, which, has been the case with me for a few months, it's just, you're just around all the time. Perhaps too much.
Having been on the other side doing talk shows where you interviewed actors, did that give you a different perspective or insight into this craft?
I don't think so. I mean, it's just such a different universe. I mean, it's such a different world. It's a different, I think they're different skills. Obviously I got to talk over the years to some really good actors. I don't know that I'm necessarily, that's nothing that you're not learning watching any other show. So I don't know really if that's an easy segue into acting. But what is an easy segue? I mean, driving cabs, waiting tables. It's a strange vocation, and people find it through different ways.
Are you a better guest now that you've done that?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly try not to suck. I'm tortured. If you were just an actor all your life, I think you're one of these 18-year-old kids and you're an actor, and then you're an actor. Now you go on one of these shows, you sit there and you talk about yourself and you just blah, blah, blah. And you don't even think or have the capacity to imagine what the person across from you is thinking inside their head while you're talking. But I can actually hear the thoughts of David Letterman saying, God, this guy's crashing and burning. Oh, my God. We're almost out of time. How's he going to wind this up? We've only got 30 seconds left. What am I going to ask him next? So I can hear all the thoughts from the other side of the chair, and it's torture. Torture, I tell you.
I'd like to ask about you playing Dick Vermeil.
Yeah.
In Invincible.
Yes.
And
why, a Philly fan are you?
I'm actually a New England Patriot fan. But I think there's going to be about millions of people who will be asking you what it's like to play Dick Vermeil, so let me start it right now.
Okay.
Tell me about what it was like to, or tell us about what it was like to play him, and did you feel any pressure from football friends and all that?
Well, I felt pressure the moment I landed in Philadelphia and drove about a mile away from the airport, and the first thing I saw was a gigantic billboard of Dick's head saying American Red Cross. I mean, it was some, or Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or he's a spokesman for, I mean, they still love him in that town. He's still revered. And,
yeah, billboard with a big head on it kind of gets you.
Yeah,
gets
yeah, that's right. Let's back all these up. but you know, it was really a remarkable thing how revered he is in that town, and he's a he's an incredible guy. I got to spend about 3 days with him up in his training camp in Wisconsin for Kansas City last year, in what would be his last year as a NFL coach, and he is just an amazing, is an amazing guy. I mean, his determination and his passion, you know, he takes a few raps on the whole emotional thing. Some people are very cynical about it, but you watch it up close and personal, he loves these guys, and he just cares so much about them winning and stuff that is totally authentic, and he's the real deal, and I became quite a fan. Really did.
Get tickets out of it or anything like that? Hurts?
No, I didn't get it. Well, I got to see a few games, I don't know.
His former players seem to all of his former players seem to love him.
Yeah,
and
they do. I
would imagine that this is a small film in Philadelphia when it does come out.
Yeah, it'll be a little slightly noticed there. Well, Vince Papale is still around. Saw him last night or the night before, and he's a tremendous guy. But he tells great stories about Dick, and the movie, chronicles kind of their success that they enjoyed together in Philly.
Going back to Little Miss Sunshine, can you talk a bit about, did you identify with anything or anybody in this film? What kind of childhood and upbringing did you have? Were you the surly, kind of nightie-loving teenager?
I snorted a lot of heroin when I was a kid, so I guess Grandpa.
Did you ever take a road trip?
Yeah, I took a road trip.
What kind of, did you have a happy childhood?
Yeah.
Did you talk or did you write notes?
Notes. I was a talker.
He couldn't be a pilot.
Verbal.
Can you just say a bit more about what kind of child, what kind of kid you were? Did you dream of being an actor?
I was interested in acting from a young age, but I didn't know if that was going to be a reality. I didn't know anybody out here or kind of in show business, and, ended up, moving into broadcast journalism when I first got out here, and kind of got a lucky break with Sabrina. But as a kid, I don't know what I was like. That's impossible. How am I supposed to talk about? I don't know. Well, I was a brave little man, strong and stoic. Yeah, there's just no way to be too self-analytical about your childhood. It just felt like lots of missteps and awkward and goofy and all of that, but good. I had good parents, and I was very lucky in that sense.
What about the chemistry with you and Abigail? I thought she was a fabulous one.
She's amazing. She just came up to me. I had a daughter 4 weeks ago. She came up. She goes, "This is for your daughter, Audrey, and this is for your daughter Lily." I'm like, "Oh my God, she's a remarkable girl. She really is. She's a great actress. I mean, she's, I forget sometimes that she was 9. I mean, you'd be shooting his movies and she's just right there. She's like Elizabeth Taylor. And all of a sudden you'd see her over there eating a Twinkie and playing with a yo-yo. I'd be like, oh my God, she's 9.
Do you think you'd let your own kids do any acting or not decided yet?
Well, I don't know. I suppose part of being a father is to not, when they're 3 and 4 weeks, listing all the things that I won't let them do. But I'd probably, I'll be a lot happier if they find a different line of work.
Why?
We out of time?
Why?
I'm sorry.
Why? Because you obviously love what you do, though.
I do love what I do. No, I'm just kidding. No secrets. I mean, it's, you know, it's a difficult, you know, kind of a strange business, and you know, she, you know, I don't know. I want her living in Indiana, back in New England with her mom somewhere.
Or just two girls?
Huh?
You just have two girls?
Yeah, two girls. Yeah.
Just business.
Just. Yeah. Congratulations. That's it for me.